Good evening. Good to see each one of you here this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, I would like for you to turn with me, please, in the book of Acts, the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Let's just look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we open His word this evening. Father, again, we thank You for this time together, for the season of prayer, for those names that have been mentioned in need of prayer, for an answer to prayer. We know that You know every need, and You answer according to Your precious will. Thank You now for the opportunity to open Your word. We pray that You might speak to us and challenge our hearts as Your people this evening afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Week before last, we shared with you from the book of Job. And we looked there at a man whom God declared Himself to be an upright man. I don't think that there's too many others that you can read of in the scripture that God Himself specifically declared that He was an upright, a good man. There was none like Him in all the world. And as we read and as we heard of the life of Job, we saw how God blessed him abundantly. The scripture says that he loved God, he feared God, he avoided evil. What a man. Yet, when we looked at that passage of scripture, we saw how God allowed this man to be tested above and beyond that which we think was possible for a human to go through. And he did. Job stood the test. And I like what the scripture says. It says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor accused God foolishly. God used Job's life, and we saw this as we looked at this passage of scripture, as an example to encourage the lives of his people. And so it is as we go through the scriptures and we look at many of these men whose lives were used for God in tremendous ways. And tonight, I felt led to share with you the life of another tremendous man. His story is absolutely remarkable. We read about him quite often. There's much of his writings used continuously. But many times we don't look at the basis of the lives of these individuals, where they were, and how God took them from that point in their lives and used them for His honor and His glory. He does and He can do the same thing for you and I. But this man this evening, whose life and his writings as were led by the Holy Spirit, I would say has had more of an impact on the lives of human beings for over 2,000 years, more than any other Bible character apart from Jesus Christ Himself. Maybe you're already thinking. Maybe you know. This man, he wrote books such as Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and on and on and on. This man, his name was originally Saul. We know him today as the Apostle Paul. His name was changed. We'll see that a little later down. But originally, he began a life as Saul. And his life, as we read through the Scriptures, as we study the Scriptures, as many of us have, it's not only a fascinating one, but it is displayed in such a way as we read of him for all to see how God, through its awesome power, and it was only by the power and the grace of God that this life was changed, through God's awesome power, he could take a life from where it is and take it to the place where he wants it to be. We can't do that, but God can. And he can do the same thing. And I hope that he has done the same thing in your life and mine. And the reason for it is that through it all, the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus might be honored and uplifted. And it also pictures today in the lives of you and I as believers, as we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't read very much. I don't think we read anything at all about Saul in the New Testament until we come to the 7th chapter of Acts. And in the 7th chapter of Acts, beginning from verses 54 through 60, we see a picture there that begins to show us what this man Saul is all about. It's a story, as a matter of fact, of a believer who was being persecuted, whose name was Stephen. The Bible tells us that Stephen was being stoned to death. And the reason he was being stoned to death was because of his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because he had made a commitment to the new way, as Saul looked upon it, to this newfound belief that these men and women had in this one that called himself Jesus Christ, whom Paul did not believe in, or Saul. Saul did not believe in Jesus Christ. He did not believe that he was the Son of God. He just believed that he was some other prophet, some other man, but not Jesus Christ. And here we see in this picture of this young man who had made this commitment to Jesus Christ, they're stoning him to death. And standing, watching the clothes of the Jews that stoned Stephen to death, was a young man by the name of Saul. Saul. What was he doing there? What was he there for? He was there because of his opposition. He was there because of what I just said to you. And he was not just watching as they stoned Stephen to death. But the Scripture tells us in chapter 8 and verse 1 that he was consenting unto his death. In other words, he was urging his fellow men to kill Stephen, stone him to death, get rid of his views, get rid of his ideas about this one called Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3 of this same chapter, and it will show to us how determined that this man Saul was. It says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and arresting men and women, committed them to prison." He was a determined man, determined to get rid of any of the ideas that anyone should have about Jesus Christ. He was determined that there would be no one left alive, if he had the say, to carry forth this newfound faith and this newfound religion. You see, he was a righteous man, he considered himself to be. He believed in God. But he believed that what he was doing a favor for God and killing off those that believed in Jesus Christ. How wrong could one be? How wrong could one be? He wanted to wipe out any and all references. But oh, may I say here this evening, let's just look at verse 4 for a little bit. Therefore, they, it means the believers, that were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. And I just want to say this air this evening. Thank God for those believers, those who were unafraid of what Saul might do to them, those that were unafraid of the persecution, those that took a stand for their belief in Jesus Christ, and they were willing to pay the penalty even if it cost them death. And thank God this evening that it is because of them that you and I are here tonight. Were it not for those men that were willing to take a stand, willing to give up their lives, willing to testify to the fact that Jesus Christ was real and alive, you and I would not be here this evening. And the thought went through my mind as I was reading through this passage of Scripture. Would to God tonight that there were more men and women such as these, that there were more of us that would stand up and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are willing to be committed to His work. Those that are willing to go and tell others of the Lord Jesus throughout the communities in which we live. And yes, even around the world. How sad it is as we look around. Even here in the Bahamas. Even here in the Bahamas. There is a lack of love and commitment. There's a lack of love and commitment shown for the Lord Jesus. In spite of the fact that we're not persecuted, we have freedom of choice, we have freedom of will, we have freedom of way, we can stand and proclaim the word, but yet there is a lack of those that are willing to do so. I thank God for those who have. I thank God for the young man that I've seen involved in this assembly, for those in other assemblies that I've visited. And brothers and sisters, let us encourage them to stand up and proclaim the word for Jesus Christ. Let us encourage the young people. My heart has been blessed since I've been here, as I've looked at the young people as they're involved in the things of God. Let us encourage them as the older ones of this church, of this assembly, to stand up for Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it takes men, young men and young women with the backbone and the commitment in this day in which we live to be willing to stand for Christ. There's so much out there to distract and draw their hearts and minds away. Let us, as elder statesmen, encourage them. Pray for them. You and I, who are the older ones, are going to gradually pass on. We need young men and young women that are committed to Jesus Christ that will stand, irrespective of persecution, irrespective of what others may say about them, and be as Stephen of old, be willing to stand in the spite of possibly losing their lives. When we look at chapter 9, it gives us much details about Saul. He was dedicated, he was determined, he was committed to doing what he thought was a service for God. Let me read a couple of verses. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," the way that we just talked about, those who loved the Lord Jesus, those who believed that He was the Son of God, those who was now standing up and proclaiming His word, any of this way, whether they were men or women, that He might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You see, this is who Paul, whom we now know, that did all of these writings, this is where he began. This is who he was. This was his lifestyle. This was his determination in life to wipe out any thought of Jesus Christ. What a change. What a change that Jesus Christ made in his life. And oh, when we look at verse 3, the scripture says, "And as he journeyed, He came near Damascus. Beloved, in all of this, God was looking at this man as he looks at us all. God was not looking at the outward appearance, but he looked at his heart the same as he did for Job. He looked at Job's heart. He knew who Job was. He knew what Job could do. He knew the circumstances that he could allow to come in Job's life, and he would stand for him. That's why he could say, he is a good man. He looked at the life of Saul, just the opposite. But he saw within him a man that he could use to honor and glorify his name, one that could be used to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ into the four corners of the world. And even tonight, as we stand there, we proclaim the word that Paul wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Beloved, God can use you. God only needs to see a life that is committed. He needs to see those of us that are willing to stand up and be counted for Him, irrespective of what may come in our lives, to stand strong, stand firm. God saw this man that was going to be a tremendous asset to Him, to be a witness for this new way that he was now persecuting, that he was now trying to do away with. He saw that Saul had qualities that he could use. He just had to make a few changes in his life. Changes that would alter his life forever and bring him where he wanted him to be. You know, sometimes as God looks at our lives, he has to do a few things in our lives sometimes to bring us where he wants us to be. He has to tap us a little bit here and tap us a little bit there and push us a little bit here and push us a little bit there. But beloved, if he wants us to get there, he'll get us there. He'll get us there. We just have to be committed. We just have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was on his way to Damascus. He was going to Damascus with one purpose in mind, and that was to arrest as many believers as he possibly could and take them back to Jerusalem and lock them away in prison. He had letters of authority, the scripture says. He went to the chief priests and he got these letters of authority so that there was power in his hands. Power he possessed as he sat perhaps on a donkey or perhaps on a horse, and he rode that donkey or horse on the way to Damascus. But he forgot one thing. There is a greater power, and that power is God. Beloved, let us never forget that God is greater than all. God is greater than any idea, any plan that you and I may have. God is above all, and he will always be above all. He can do anything, whenever and whatever he pleases, and no one can stop him. No one can stop him. I can picture Saul this evening by the eyes of faith as he has these letters of authority in his pocket, feeling good about himself, knowing what he is about to do on his way to Damascus, perhaps joking with those that were riding with him about what they would do to these believers. But God had another plan. Scripture says in verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. God said, it's enough. God said, Saul, it's enough. And beloved, immediately his life was changed. Verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Beloved, he fell from his horse. He fell from that point of exaltation. He fell from that point of pride and power. He no longer possessed it now. He was dealing with someone with a greater power. And that was God. And that's the one that you and I deal with as well. He was challenged by this voice that said, why are you persecuting my church? Why are you persecuting my people? And notice the quick response. Isn't it strange? Many times we just go along in our happy ways and not worrying about anything. But then all of a sudden, God stops us. God spanks us. God slaps us. God pushes us. And the first thing we say, we stop suddenly and we said, why, Lord? Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Wow. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It is hard, Paul. You can't win. You can't beat me. I am over you. I am all powerful. You need to learn a lesson, Saul. You need to learn who I am and not who you are. He said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. I can't imagine the feeling that must have gone through Saul at that time. Because there's a man that didn't believe in Jesus. It was a man that was determined to wipe out any thought, any name, any connection whatsoever to this man called Jesus. And now all of a sudden, he's on the ground and there's a light shining and there's a voice that he hears very loudly and he sees no one and he says, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. I'll bet you he stopped. And I'll bet you he began to listen. And I'll bet you his mind became very clear that indeed Jesus Christ was alive. That indeed Jesus Christ was alive. That those people whom he persecuted was indeed serving a risen Savior. Verse 6 says, and he trembling and astonished said this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, he was going his own way. He was doing his own thing. Beloved, if you and I tonight are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot go our own way. We cannot do our own thing. You and I must be led by the Spirit of God. You and I must follow the directions that God has laid for our life. Because God is looking. God is evaluating our lives every day. And believe me, if you and I do not follow the paths that God will tread, ask for you and I to tread, He will stop us. He will speak to us somehow, some way. And we will recognize who He is. As Saul did. He recognized that this was Jesus Christ. And there was no getting around it. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And we see here in the scriptures that Jesus gave him instructions. He said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. They also heard a voice, but they saw no man. I believe right then with all my heart that Saul recognized that indeed there was a greater power. Indeed there was one to reckon with. There was one to submit his life to. There was one to follow his directions. Verse 8 says, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And then down in verse 15 and 16, I want you to notice here how that God revealed his plan for Saul's life. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. God said, that man, he was talking to Ananias, is a chosen vessel. I'm going to use him. And I'm going to use him not to destroy my name, but I'm going to use him to lift up my name. I'm going to use him to glorify my name. I'm going to use him to bring men and women to a saving grace of who I am, of Jesus Christ, to know of my love and to know of my mercy. But he's going to pay the price. And beloved, if you know the scriptures as you study them, you will see how the Apostle Paul, he went through some tremendous difficulties in his life. His name was eventually changed, the scripture tells us. It was changed from Saul unto Paul. And that man, as you read his life and you continue on in the book of Acts, most of the chapters in this book is about Paul, how he began his ministry, and how that he was persecuted to no end, how that he was beaten with many a stripe, how that he was locked in prison, way back into the inner cells, and at midnight sang and prayed, and God opened the prison doors and allowed him to come out of prison. He was a changed man. He had a new life and a new ministry. He obeyed the call now. Thank God, he used his new desire. He used a new determination in a new way. And because of this, you and I are here today. Because of this, you and I have these wonderful scriptures that he wrote. Because of this, you and I can be encouraged this evening to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and know that he is real, that he is alive. He presented himself to this man that was about to destroy everything he possibly could. His life was turned around. God used him. Oh, beloved, I pray that we may allow God to use you and I. God has something for you and I to do, and maybe be willing to do it, maybe be encouraged, maybe be inspired by the life of this man, Paul, the way that he lived. And he lived, under so many difficult situations. But thank God, he lived a life for Jesus Christ. And I want to read to you as I close some of the writings, some of the words that he wrote, that only a man whose life has been changed by the power of God could write and could express this evening. He wrote in Acts chapter 21 and verse 13. He said, "I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Isn't that marvelous? Here's a man that wanted to get rid of the name of Jesus Christ. But now the power of God has entered his life. God has changed him around miraculous. God has brought him from that darkness that he was in into his marvelous light. And there he is. "I'm willing to die. I'm willing to give my life for Jesus Christ." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, he writes these words, "But by the grace of God," and you and I can say this evening, "but by the grace of God, I am what I am." Isn't that marvelous? This is his writings. This is what he was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit of God. And he wrote it to encourage your life. He wrote it to challenge your life, my life. I am. You are what we are. Not by our strength, not by who we are, but by the grace of God. The one who loved us and gave himself for us. And then he continues on in that verse. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He says, "I'm living for him. I know him. He is real in my life. I know what he did. I know what he can do. And I'm going to live my life for him." Galatians 6:14, he writes this, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is
Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, beloved, if we can say that tonight with an assurance in our hearts, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. To die is gain. And then he says, and there's so many other writings, but time does not allow us to go through all of this. He says this, what things were gained to me. In other words, all of that I may have accomplished when I was out there, when I was under the authority of the Jewish Sanhedrin, under the authority of the powers of that day, I thought that I was somebody. I thought that I had accomplished much in my life. But he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Beloved, what a man. What a man. What a contrast between this man and Job. But God used them both in tremendous ways so that you and I tonight can open His Word and see what He has to say and apply it to our hearts and our lives in this day in which we live. Thank God for this man, Paul. Thank God for the Word that he wrote as directed by the Spirit of God. And his words are used over and over and over again. Over 2,000 years now. And as a result of his Word, many lives have been changed. Many have already gone home to be with Jesus Christ because of the words that Paul had written as instructed by the Spirit of God. Beloved, this evening, I trust that you and I might seek to live our lives according to the will and the way of God, that our lives might in some small manner be as Paul's, that we might have some influence on those around us, that our lights may shine forth each day that we live, that we may be an example as this man was, that others may see the change that was made in us. Ananias was afraid when he heard that Saul was coming because he had heard of his reputation, how that he killed the believers, how that he hailed them off to prison. But God said to Ananias, he's my man now. He's my man now. He's changed. And what a change was made in that man's life. Beloved, I trust that as we read the books of the New Testament that the Apostle Paul wrote, that we do not take them so casually, but that as we read through them, we might remember who this man Paul really was, what his original life was all about, and how that by the grace and the mercy and the power of God he could write, I am what I am by the grace of God. And thank God this evening, if you and I can say the same thing, by the grace of God, I am what I am. May the desires of our hearts this evening be to be like this man, Paul, to live for him, to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ. Let our lives and our lights shine in this community and have the joy of seeing others come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts this evening for His name's sake. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these men of old, and there are so many of them in Your Word. And each of them, they have a story to tell as we read of their lives. But this one, this man in particular, the Apostle Paul, what a life. What a man. You looked beyond his faults and you saw his needs. You reached down and you changed his life. You called and he responded. You changed him into the man that you wanted him to be. And as a result this evening, countless millions have heard the word and numerous ones have accepted Jesus Christ as a result of his writings. And we thank you for that tonight, that even tonight, some 2,000 years later, we can look at this man, and our hearts can be challenged and encouraged by the things that you accomplished in his life. Father God, bless each heart here this evening. Encourage us, we pray, as we seek to live our lives for you in these communities, and that our goal may be to reach others for Jesus Christ. Bless us as we separate this evening. In your name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you might be able to sing just a verse and chorus.